tell us, just for starters, how you got into this work in training teachers to reach and teach children who are hurt.
Well, I was a reading specialist when I first began my career as a teacher, and the more evaluations I did, the more I recognized a pattern that children who were struggling academically seemed to have histories that either involved early childhood adversity or some kind of unhappy experiences that seemed to still stay with them and was somehow, I didn't know how then, interfering with their ability to learn basic skills. And many of them had a lot of behavior problems. I went from there to running a program for children with emotional problems for about 10 years in the Portsmouth Public Schools. And from there, pursued my doctorate in sociology, studying the effects of violence on children's cognition and social development.
Okay.
And along the way, I've trained many teachers, many places, and given a lot of workshops, because teachers seem to be desperate to try to unlink what it is about children who seem to be trying their best, who just continually fall apart and just can't make it to the next step.
And I think every teacher listening to us today probably has at least one student in mind for which that's true, that they have not been able to reach even though they can see their level of effort.
That's right. And, you know, when you compare the statistics nationally in terms of 1 in 4 children, it's estimated, has been abused or in some ways traumatized before the age of 5 in the United States. Those children are in school. So
right.
In a classroom of 25 children, a teacher probably has 3 or 4 of those kids sitting in front of him or her and doesn't have a clue about it, because many of the children who have early adversity never really come to the attention of helping professions. It's the very tip of the iceberg where children will wind up being referred for children and youth services.
Right. So they may be the students that look how. Can you describe quickly what they might look like?
They are classically 2 different types of children. The most difficult to manage and the most frustrating for teachers, I would say, are those that appear to be quite oppositional defiant. And it's funny, mm-hmm. even if the child's only 5 years old, they usually wind up with that label, which is a little bit scary. They're children who just won't cooperate.
Right.
And it's hard for teachers to recognize the fact that it's not a matter of not wanting to cooperate, but it's a matter of really not knowing how or being able to. The second group of children that appear in classrooms who probably have a trauma history are children that are quite withdrawn and are referred to often as parentified children. They're the children that want to help all the time, they want to do things, but they're always in their own quiet way seeking the attention and reassurance of the adult. So what we now know about children and how they develop is that in those early years, usually from 0 to 3 particularly, the whole self-regulatory processes in the brain are being formed. And in the best of all circumstances, they're being formed with the support of a caring caregiver who is co-regulating the child's moods and the child's emotional and physical state. Those children come to school ready to learn because they have the confidence that they can control their internal process as well as the things around them. In the absence of that caring attachment relationship in early childhood, these kids are terrified. They can't control themselves. They can't control the world around them. And they actually lack the brain neural pathways that are necessary for managing their arousal system. So they're always on edge.
Right.
That's what you see in their, what we refer to often as defiant behavior. They're afraid. They're threatened by very neutral things in the environment. And so they're always kind of ready to fall into a rage to defend themselves.
Right. So they're always on edge. They're always a little bit hypervigilant, even though they seem to look maybe aggressive and defiant in their actions.
They are. Most of what you would define or call aggression in young children really is a reaction of fear. It's a very rare child who is going to really be aggressive. They may act aggressively, but they're motivated by self-protection. And they see, they have cognitive distortions where they perceive things as more threatening than they actually are. In fact, when you do MRI imaging of children at rest, children that have early trauma histories, there's parts of their arousal system that remain activated even when their typical peers are, we say, green because they're not activated. The child who has had an early trauma history will maintain an activity in their arousal system even in rest.
So it's almost like their thermostats are set high or something to that effect.
That's exactly right. And, you know, they are often children who parents will report don't sleep well, are picky mm-hmm. eaters, can't settle down. And it all goes to that same arousal system. You want children to maintain a state of arousal that allows them to explore their environment and learn new things. And what chronic stress in early childhood does is it ups the arousal so that it almost makes learning impossible.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to explore new things when they're afraid to move out of their own shadow. And so you see that kind of what appears to teachers often as a lack of effort or giving up quickly. And it's, again, it's kind of a muted response to the environment because they are afraid. They can't control either themselves or the environment around them.